don't ever believe that the presence of God manifests itself just so we can feel good. Now, I love to feel the presence of God, but God manifests his presence always with purpose. Amen. I believe there's purpose here this morning, don't you? It's good to see you and to be with you today. Amen. Let's remember Elder and Sister Flowers and their family. They are still traveling in Florida and in the Memphis area. I'm not sure exactly where they are at this moment in time, but remember them on their vacation. They should be back later this week. And so hold them up in prayer. Amen? Look forward to that. We miss them when they're away. Also want to say, youth, if you are 12 to 18, wave your hand. I won't make you stand up, but if you're 12 to 18, youth, wave your hand. Okay, look at that. They're scattered. And this, almost said Thursday. I'm still catching myself on that. This Wednesday night, we will kick off youth class during our midweek service. Amen? And so we are excited about that. Brother Jared and Sister Sister Elena's not there, through me. Brother Jared and Sister Elena will be leading that effort. We're excited about that, thankful for the burden that God has given them in their heart to do the work of the kingdom and draw closer to God with our youth. Amen? So young people, don't forget that. That'll be this Wednesday night and Wednesday nights going forward. Praise God. I'd like you to grab your Bible with me this morning, if you would. Go to the book of Exodus. While you're turning there, I have the Shema turning in my spirit for whatever reason this morning. And I know that's not foreign to most of you when I use that term. We, of course, know Deuteronomy 6 and 4, the scripture declares, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and him only shalt thou serve." Amen? Aren't you thankful to know who the one God is? Amen. We know, of course, we say in English, Jesus. I baptized a family some years ago up near the Canadian border outside of Bellingham. I had a unique experience. I'm certain it was a God moment. I'd received a call. It was on Easter weekend a few years ago. I received a phone call, and it was from Indiana, Illinois, one of those I states, one of those two I states. I know it wasn't Iowa, but it was either Indiana or Illinois was the phone number, and I did not recognize the phone number, and so I did what probably most of you do, is I just let it go to voicemail or see if it would go to voicemail, where it went to voicemail, and I listened, and it was a man whom I'd never met. He said, "I'm looking for Joel." He called my name. He said, "I'm looking for him. I need some help with the church in Washington." I thought, well, okay. So I called him back, and the man I'm speaking to, I said, "Yeah, I saw your Indiana, whatever, that phone number." He said, "Yeah, that's where I live. That's where I'm at." I said, "Okay." And he said, "You know, I do shoe repair." So I'm listening right now. I'm intrigued. I'm like you. I'm like, this guy's got my number. I'm not sure how he found my number, but he has my number. And from Indiana, we're going to say Indiana, I think that's where it was. And he says, I do shoe repair, and I was looking for equipment, and I found some cobbler equipment, shoe cobbler equipment, like large equipment for sale on eBay. Okay. Right? I'm like you right now. You're going, okay. And I'm going, okay, I'm listening. You know, I wasn't getting like, this guy's crazy. I don't know what he wants. I wasn't getting any of that. So I'm listening, and he says, "Well, I came out to Washington to pick up this equipment." I drove out there, and some large equipment that he bought. He said, "So I drove out there, and I was up near the border near Bellingham." And he said, "I meet this family, and this family is from the Ukraine region." And he said, I start talking to the family. It turns out the elderly man and his wife that were selling this equipment because they were going out of business, he said, he's a pastor. But interestingly enough, he is a Trinitarian pastor. So I start talking to him from the scripture. I started in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then began showing him Jesus Christ, or as we would say in Hebrew, Yeshua, right? Which is Jehovah has become salvation. And so he said, I began showing him these things. And they're listening. And he said, one of them said, you should talk to my brother. My brother has been telling us these things from the scripture, that he said, God is showing him what you've been telling us. And my brother thought he was one of the only ones that had ever seen what you're telling us. And so so now I'm interested. I'm like, okay, we got past eBay and shoe equipment. I'm engaged now. Let's talk. And so he's telling me this story. And so I'm like, so why are you how did you get my number and why are you calling me? He said, man, I was looking in Bellingham and I found your number. Well, we had planted a church there about 5 years before. It's still there. And I guess my phone number was somehow still attached to the building that we rented there. And so he found, and he said, I'm originally from Arkansas. And so when I saw an Arkansas phone number, I thought, I'm calling that one. Doesn't God work in strange ways? And so we talked for a minute, found out we were both born, like literally about 20 minutes apart from where the places where he was from in Arkansas. And so he said, anyway, he said, this family, he said, they have seen in scriptures, he showed them in Acts 2 and Acts 8 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. He showed them in the scriptures how baptism was in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That everybody that was ever baptized in the Bible was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he began to show them that. He showed them that the fulfillment of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was Jesus Christ. He was the embodiment. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Right? Jesus said, the Father will send the Holy Ghost in my name. There was no confusion or no plurality of gods. And so he said, they saw this. And so I think that if somebody were to visit them, they would want to be baptized. So we drove, had a young couple meet us that went from the west side that was actually also from that region, and because I didn't know what the language barrier might or might not be when we got there. And so when we visited for a while and the Spirit of the Lord met us there in their home, this man, then he called his brother came over. And after we visited about 2 or 3 hours, had a meal, the brother said, if we found water, there's a lake not far, would you baptize us today? And so we drove to this lake. I don't remember the name of it, but we drove to this lake up there in the middle of nowhere. And we're walking out in the water, and the man says to me, he says, now, I saw everything in the Bible in Jesus' name. He said, do you have to say it in English? I was like, sorry. I wasn't sure where he was going there. He's like, do you have to say it in English? I'm like, well, I don't guess. I think the name in any language, as long as it's the name, the power's in the name. And so it's the first time I'd ever done it. But we baptized him. When I baptized him, I said, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. I don't know why that was quick into my spirit today as we were worshiping the Lord when we said, you are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. Jehovah has become salvation. You understand that's what the name Jesus means. Jehovah has become salvation. This is why the writer of the book of Hebrews, who was appealing to the Hebrew people, said Jesus Christ is the express image or the only image of the invisible God. Not another image of, the only image of the invisible God. This is why the writer of Scripture could declare, no man hath seen God at any time. Jesus Christ in him, Paul told us in the book of Colossians, in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you and I are complete. Where? In him. Aren't you thankful for that today? The book of Exodus. I just had to share my heart with you. That was turning as we were singing the song, The Mighty God. Aren't you thankful you know who the mighty God is? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. Exodus chapter 8. We do have the air on, in case you wondered about that. You'll feel it moving, hopefully. I know when you walk in here on Sunday morning, it can be cool. But if we get it warm in here for when you walk in, it will be meat falling off the bone about 20 minutes in. So we try to have it cooler. And if you can endure the coolness, it warms up pretty quick. But we're glad you're here today. The book of Exodus chapter 8. There, we're going to start with verse number 19 in just a moment. Let me give you a little context of Scripture here. We're here in the book of Exodus. We're at the place in this Scripture where, or in the Word of God, where Moses and Aaron have been coming in front of Pharaoh. They've been coming and doing different things. God, it's the plagues that are taking place, right? Moses has cast down his rod. The Egyptian sorcerers did the same. Moses has caused the rivers of water to turn into blood. The Egyptians do some of the same things. But the Lord continues working through Moses, and we see things continue. And finally, it gets to a point to where the Egyptian sorcerers can no longer imitate what the Lord is doing at the hand and the word of Moses. And they can no longer imitate. And there's tremendous things happening. We didn't take the time, and we won't this morning, to read all of the different plagues. We'd have to read the first seven books of Exodus or chapters, so we're not going to do that. But I want you to notice something here, Exodus 8, verse 19. What has happened is, if you look in the verses prior, you're so far along in the plagues, and Moses had just spoke the word of the Lord, and lice has covered the land. Like dust of the land, there's lice throughout all of Egypt. And the magicians tried to do the same thing, but they couldn't. They no longer had power to do what God was doing through Moses. And so this is their declaration, verse number 19. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Isn't that an interesting statement? The magician said, "This is the finger of God." Now go to Exodus 31. I want you to see something. I don't think we're going to be very long. I shouldn't have said that probably, but Exodus 31 and verse number 18. Now Moses is on the mountaintop, where he receives the commandments. You know this story, right, many of you? And he is the Lord God Almighty. He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave him two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with what? The finger of God. It's an interesting element. And I have not explored it to the nth degree. Maybe again, like we talked about Wednesday night, maybe the things shared this morning will provoke something in you to continue to dig deeper in the Word of God. But it's interesting when you begin looking and you see this declaration in Scripture of the finger of God. And so we go a little further. We see that the magicians called what they could not do nothing more than just the finger of God. We see the law given by the Lord, and it's written simply with the finger of God. But Watch, don't underestimate that. In the book of Psalms, chapter 8, just bear with me another moment here. We're going to look at a couple more scriptures. Psalm 8 and verse number 5. The psalmist is declaring the greatness of God. He asks questions like, what is man that you're even mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him? He says, you've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Right? But we also see, let me turn over there. I know they're putting it on the screen. Go to the next verse. Verse 6. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. Keep going. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. If you look here, let me turn in scripture. I'm struggling to see that screen up there. I didn't carry my glasses here with me. The scripture says of the Lord, I wanted verse 3 and I said verse 5. I apologize. I know it's in the right chapter. Watch verse 3. He says, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you visited me? And then he makes this statement about the Lord. Remember, the psalmist is declaring the greatness of God. And he says, when I consider the heavens. And what are the heavens? What does the scripture say the heavens are? The heavens are the work of thy fingers. The moon and the stars which you have ordained. Now, we've looked at three quick places here in scripture. We see the Lord doing something that the God of this world cannot duplicate. And those that served the God of this world and did enchantment said, this greatness that you're seeing, it's the finger of God. We see the law given to Moses for the children of Israel. And it's simply written with the finger of God. But the psalmist declaring the greatness of God says that the heavens themselves were merely the work of his fingers. It's almost as though the writer of Scripture is pointing out to us that the greatness of God that's just in his fingers is more than we can fathom. You know, he doesn't, in none of these scriptures has he talked about the hand of God. In none of these scriptures has he talked about the arm of God. He's only merely mentioned the finger of God. And yet we see the magnificent work of God through his finger. Now, I know that these are, I don't know, I'm not the Bible scholar. I don't know that word. What is it? Anthropomorphous, something like that? Is that pretty close? Where some of you are like, I don't even know what word you just said. It's like anthropomorphism or something to that effect. What it means, it's when the writer of Scripture would use human elements to describe God. We know that God is not made up of human elements, right? An example we can relate to that uses anthropo, whatever word I can't think of, is like where it says, the psalm says the Lord will protect us under his feathers and his wings. So we know God's not a big bird. We understand that, right? But the writer of Scripture uses these elements that you and I can understand so that we can get a glimpse of the character and the nature of God. He's not making God a bird any more than here it's making God a human being. Now we know that in the man Christ Jesus dwelt all the fullness of God. Okay? But it's an indicator to us of the power of God. And the writer of Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost, writes to us. And it's interesting in these different examples that I gave here from Scripture that he said, these works that you see, these things that are done, the writer wasn't moved by the Holy Ghost to attribute it to the wholeness of God. He was simply saying, it's the finger of God. It's like he was wanting us to realize the greatness and the majesty of God is beyond what you can see, understand, or comprehend. So I want you to understand that the works of the heavens are merely his fingers at work. If you were to try to comprehend how great God is, it would be impossible for us. And so he's giving us this picture. And I said all of that this morning. He said, you could keep looking and keep digging. We find in the book of Daniel, we find that they're there and they're drinking out of the holy instruments that Babylon had stolen out of the tabernacle of Israel. And they're drinking out of those and making merry and making a mockery. And God shows up and they see a writing on the wall, like a hand begins to write on the wall. And the finger of God announces judgment. And if you study history, within less than just a few hours, a nation came in through a gate unimpeded and took over that country without ever raising a sword at the finger of God writing on a wall in Daniel. Why am I saying all that? I said all of that to say this. That was all just foundational to get here. If this is the power that the writer of scriptures under the inspiration of God wants us to realize is simply in the hand of God or in the fingers of God, how great is the hand of God? Consider for a moment, if the finger of God made the heavens, if the finger of God was so great that the gods of this world couldn't even stand against it, how powerful is the hand of God when it begins to work in your life and mine? How powerful is it for someone to say, the hand of God is on your life? Oh, that changes things, doesn't it? All of a sudden, I'm saying there's more power resident. Isn't it safe to assume that there's more power resident in the hand of God than the finger of God? I think that's an element that the writers was wanting us to understand. Because then we look a little bit further in other places in Scripture. And again, we're just scratching the surface. You get to go do Bible study later. We see the Scripture says the arm of the Lord. Anybody ever heard that? What does it say about the arm of the Lord? The Scripture says the arm of the Lord is not short, that it cannot save. I have a question for you. If the finger of God made the works of the heavens, and the hand of God is great and mighty, how powerful is the arm of the Lord to reach to a lost loved one and reach them when they seem unreachable? The arm of the Lord is not short that it cannot save. And so we begin to look, and we can keep looking. We're not going to keep doing that this morning. But you can keep digging and going through Scripture, and you see these accounts of the finger, the hand, the arm of God. It's a writer trying to reveal to us the greatness of God. I said all of that this morning to say this. There is no situation in your life that is too hard for God. There is no circumstance in your body that is difficult for God. There is no circumstance of your mind that is beyond the reach and the ability of God to heal and to change. There is no circumstance in a lost loved one that is irreconcilable when it's put into the hand of God. There is no element. Do you understand? God can do whatever he wants to. And if we'll submit to him, we can get a glimpse this morning somehow by the word of God and by the desire of God. If we could get a glimpse of the greatness of God. I'm afraid that too often we put him in a small box. I'm afraid we've limited him because we see circumstances around us that try to rob us of faith. I'm afraid too often we've given room to doubt because we've listened to other voices. But I would today we would look afresh with eyes of faith. And we would look afresh because of the Word of God. And recognize and realize nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. Now oftentimes we hear that and we think of somebody else. We think of somebody else's situation. We think of somebody else's circumstance.
We think of somebody else's life, and we pray a prayer of faith for them. I feel a quickening of faith that met early this morning that said, I can do anything if they'll allow me to do what I want to do. If the finger of God can do the works of the heavens, what would the hand of God do reaching in here this morning? And if the presence of God is here, and I'm certain that He is, what would He do in your situation this morning? Some of you, not all of you, but some of you walked in here today with what seems like impossible situations. You walked in with hope, but not sure you had faith. That makes sense. Sometimes we have hope for a situation, but we really struggle to have faith for a situation. You understand that differentiation? And I feel the Spirit of God wanting to put faith in your spirit today for the impossible. I want you to stand with me this morning, please. Being very careful here today, because my desire and goal is not to try to hype you up or create some emotionally charged situation. I believe in the power of the name of Jesus. I believe in the authority of His word and His name. And I believe the faith that is in this room, in Him, the faith in Him. The Scripture declares to us, if we have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, that's small, like the finger of God. If we have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, the Bible says we can speak to a mountain and it would be removed. You and I have faith in a God that set the stars in place. Believe that. And the Scripture says His fingers did that. It was not a hard or heavy lift for God. Anybody believe that or think that God struggled to put the stars in place? Anybody think He struggled to set the sun where it is and the earth in its orbit? He didn't struggle with any of that, did He? So now let me bring it a little closer to where you are. Do you think God struggles with your circumstance and situation? Do you believe that God can reach in to your situation today and do the miraculous? I'm going to ask you again. Do you believe that God can reach into your situation today and do the miraculous? You know why we hesitate sometimes? It's because we want to believe. But human nature says, I don't want to get my hopes up. Is that a fair statement? We're not talking about building something up in hope in our mind. We're talking about putting our faith in the one who set the stars in place. We're talking about putting our faith in the one who has numbered the very hairs on your head. The one who formed you in your mother's womb. The one who designed you. Would you pray with me right now in faith? And would you extend your need to Him right here today in this room? Well, I'm asking you to extend your need to the Lord. I'm trying to be out of the way. I feel so clearly that the Holy Ghost is simply wanting to do a work that only He can do. But He can do it. Come on, let your faith reach to Him right now. Come on, let your faith reach to Him right now. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the sickness. Speak to the disease. Speak to the circumstance. In faith.